Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, we're going to be going into how stored emotional traumas become physical trauma with Christopher Lee Maher. I see it all the time in my practice. Folks who are fit but stressed coming in and saying they're not feeling like themselves. Some have been struggling for years before they decide to get help. Christopher is going to be talking about how he was a former Navy SEAL at the peak of his fitness. He started to have increasing pain in his joints, lost his hearing, had compromised vision, insomnia, and felt like a zombie. From the outside, he looked fit, but from the inside, he was falling apart. So, Christopher, welcome to The Health Fix.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Wow. Well, you know, when you made all those statements, I was like, yeah, I understand that from the inside out. And fortunate for me, I don't know if you're a God person, but I'm the type of person that I believe everything happens for a reason. And I think that's always helped me to take lemons and turn them into lemonade and make the best out of every situation. And I feel fortunate to have been in that situation and then have been given all of those symptoms and then the drive to be able to resolve them. And I got really fortunate that I had a bunch of really special people come into my life that taught me a few things, and then I was off and running.
Which most people don't have those folks that are there to support them. And in your case, we're going to be talking about your book in a little bit. Folks, hold on, we'll talk about it. You talk a lot about honesty and having great people around you that can give you the truth and honesty about what they're seeing about you. Can you talk a little bit about how honesty is so huge this day and age?
Well, I mean, some people would consider honesty, right, to be the most honorable quality to have access to. In Chinese medicine, the urinary bladder meridian, okay, there's 12 major meridians and 4 extraordinary meridians. And there's only one meridian that covers the back of your body. So imagine you got the front of your body, you got the back of your body. In the back of your body, you got one meridian. On the front of your body, you have 15 other meridians and channels, okay? You only got one on the back. And the one on the back is connected to the bladder, which a man that I studied with a long time ago tuned me in that the bladder is the frequency of honesty and hopefulness. And as I started to study and get deeper into traditional Chinese medicine and working with people's bodies simultaneously, I began to understand deeply the value of honesty, yet I was able to make greater and greater distinction so that people could get more clear on what honesty is from the inside and what honesty is from the outside. And so as tension came into my body, more stress, more tension, more distortion, I started to notice that when people would ask me questions, I would give them answers that were more short. So meaning I wouldn't let them peer into my experience. I would keep them on the outside of me. And then I realized that there's two versions of honesty, which is my ability to be honest with myself around what I want, what I need, and my desires, what it is I really want to experience, versus outer honesty, me being honest with someone outside of myself. And so from my investigation, people are really good at one or the other, and they're not really good at both. And so in this body of work that I've been developing called True Body Intelligence, the focus is on developing inner and outer honesty. And in doing so, when you have inner honesty, you can have that conversation with yourself and go, hey, how am I really being impacted by the experience that I'm in right now? If my focus is purely on the outside, I'll never know if that's the right environment for me. The second I start to feel anxious, my body's giving me a sign that, hey, there's something about this that isn't working for me. If I'm willing to be honest with myself and investigate deeper, I can begin to figure out what's going on. If I'm not willing to do that, I have to suffer through the anxiety that I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't be feeling the anxiety if the environment, the situation, the people, the circumstances were working for me. So, what do I need to do next? I need to then get really vulnerable. And if I'm with someone, I go, hey, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling really anxious in this environment. Now I've let someone in on my internal circumstances. So that's an experience of me being inwardly honest with myself and outwardly honest. Now, if I went a little deeper, I could investigate and go, this isn't working for me. Do I really want to be here? Or is there something in this environment that's bringing up this anxiety that I need to deal with? Like, what's going on? Because when we're children, we make up things about reality before our mind is fully cognitive. So there's something in this environment that's bringing up something that I need to look at. Hmm. Now, take an experience like, oh, I'm going to meet my friends at the bar, right? Everyone comes to the bar. Let's say there's 200-300 people in the bar. Well, you meeting 199 strangers that you've never met before, listening to loud music, okay, all different ages, races, languages, all different types of stimulus is going to either make you feel extremely comfortable, peaceful, and grounded, or it's going to give you the opposite. And so what do people do in that environment? They go to the bar and they say, hey, give me a beer, give me a whiskey, give me a shot, because they need to numb out from everything that they're feeling that they don't want to feel. So imagine, here we are, we're going into a social environment, which then gives us the opportunity to feel all these things that we usually wouldn't get to feel. And then the first thing we do is we numb out from those feelings. Now, I mean, if that makes any sense to you, meaning it, if that sounds like the correct thing to do, then that's what you'll do. That's how you'll manage your stress, right? You'll get into an environment that matches your stress level. And then you'll think that that feels normal.
And for many people, that's exactly what we do.
That's exactly what we do, 100%. And I was out of the SEAL teams, and I was in that environment, and I didn't know that there was a cost for what I was doing. I mean, I was an eight. I didn't put 2 + 2 together. And then because I wasn't honest with myself and I wasn't investigating inside what was really going on, then I continued to engage in that behavior until finally my body said, hey, we're not going to participate. You can participate, but we're not going to participate. And so how about we turn down your vision? How about we turn down your hearing? How about we give you a lot of discomfort in your body till you finally get to the place and you start to reach out for help? And that's what I did. And I was slow I mean, it took me a long time to get into that space. And then I called up one of my buddies who had got out of the SEAL teams about 6 months before I did, who I trusted. And he said, hey, listen, I will come over and teach you a few things. And he did. And that's when my life started to change.
Nice. Now, I find it interesting that it took you some time. I also find it interesting that you were talking about honesty and this urinary bladder channel, which happens to be on the back, where a lot of people tend to have pain.
Yep.
And so, as you know as well as I do, being a practitioner of Chinese medicine, most people come in and complain of some sort of neck, upper back, or low back pain. And when we look at a lot of practitioners, and myself included, a lot of times when we can't seem to get acupuncture to work or massage to work to help someone with their pain, we sometimes bring it on ourselves and say, oh, I suck at what I'm doing. I'm just not getting there. But what you're putting out there takes a whole nother spin on it. It goes, wait a minute, we got to get the mind right first before someone's going to have some success with getting rid of their pain. So in terms of looking at yourself and realizing that things were not going so well, you're having some pain, and in particular, a lot of folks will have pain in the back. We talked about in the Chinese medicine world, the urinary bladder channel, that's the back, the neck, spots in, that are common for pain. As an athlete, you were pushing yourself to the limits. Your body was functioning, but you had to have some insight in terms of what was going on. I'm not even doing this right. Holy cow, man. I got my juju all off today for sure. All right, we're going to cut that all from 11 minutes straight up to 12:45. Okay. So here goes the question again. So what was it that got you out of thinking about your body in terms of athletic performance only? What changed your mind that, oh, something is really wrong here? I'm not just overworking myself on exercising. I'm not just overworking myself as being a SEAL. What started to change your mind? How did this friend help you?
Well, I mean, he and Jeff would tell you this himself, you know, if it came down to like racing, I mean, I could run laps around him, okay? But when he came to my house and he brought a couple yoga mats and a juicer and he was drinking that juice for the first time that we made, and it took him a few minutes, and it took me, like, I was sipping on that for 45 minutes. I mean, to me, carrots, celery, parsley, I mean, it tasted lemon. It tasted disgusting. I was like, who would ever drink this? Ugh. Because the only thing I ever drank was beer, Gatorade, and water.
sounds about right. Like, you know, for the majority of the population, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when he was getting into these positions, I couldn't get into one of them. Literally, not one of them. And I was watching, and I thought to myself, he must have been born this way. And so I was in denial, and it took me a while to accept what had been shown to me. But I couldn't deny that that tasted good to him, and it tasted terrible to me. And I had to sit with myself. That was tough. Because, you know, my whole life I was thinking, oh, I'm healthy. I eat Wheaties. You know what I mean? I do all the normal things that normal people do, right? And I'm thinking, hey, I'm healthy. And if you look at me from the outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little less than 2% body fat, balanced muscularly, right? Smiling all the time. But underneath, pain, discomfort. And I wasn't letting anybody in on my pain and discomfort. So I had on a mask on the outside. And so I was honest with myself, meaning I knew I was in pain, but I wasn't honest with anybody else on the outside.
Gotcha.
I knew my vision was changing. I knew I was reading people's lips, but I wasn't telling anyone. Because at some point, and I don't know when it shifted, I didn't feel comfortable letting anyone in on where I was suffering.
Wow, this sounds really common. I think there's a lot of people out there. Before we started recording, we were talking about some of the athletes out there that are in the NFL or the NBA who are smiling, looking happy, but how many of them are just like you, hiding your pain, hiding your body's changes just because you might be perceived as looking weak if you explain that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was watching football the other day, and you'll see these athletes, you know, I mean, they're crashing into each other 22, 23, 21 miles an hour. And rather than get help off the field, they hobble off the field because they don't want to be perceived as weak from their teammates, even though everybody, not only on the sidelines, but everybody watching can see that they're obviously in an incredible amount of discomfort.
Yeah, it leads you to think, at what point are things going to crack? And I will say, I've seen some former NFL players in my practice, and it is not pretty.
No, it's not pretty at all. And I mean, it's unfortunate. And I know the teams and the owners are doing the best with what they think they have, but there needs to be a definite upgrade in how we work with athletes, because the cost that these guys pay is lifelong. Mm-hmm. Right? They have that glory for that moment of like 7 to 12 years. And then after that, you know, they're hobbling around, they're suffering, their backs hurt, their hands hurt, their necks hurt, their knees hurt, but because they're tough, right? And their egos attached to the identity of being tough. Okay, they suffer in silence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by honesty. The key is to be honest with yourself. And then once you're honest with yourself and you get to the place going, oh, wait up. Yeah, I don't want to live in anxiety, or I don't want to be this angry, or I don't want to live in fear, or I'm tired of this high horse that I live on where I'm judging everyone, including myself. Then you've got to do the most vulnerable thing in the world. You got to reach out and go, hey, I'm challenged. I'm experiencing things that are beyond my capacity to process on my own. And so those guys, and it's easy to talk about them because they deal with strong, consistent, complex stressors. And imagine they're underneath this pressure, right? If you recently signed a contract for $76 million and $40 million of it's guaranteed, imagine the pressure you feel every time you touch the football to perform. And then what do you think your teammates are thinking about you when you're getting the lion's share of the team's money and yet you're not performing as well because you can't reach out and go, hey, I need some help here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they deal with some intense complex guys in the NBA, especially hockey, college sports. I mean, imagine the college athletes, right? They have, you know, a much smaller budget compared to the professional teams. you know, the professional teams, they're more vested in those athletes because they make more money off of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I know we're talking about athletes, but we could apply this to single moms, CEOs, construction workers, okay, dentists, MDs, everybody that's under an intense amount of stress, that's dealing with aches and discomfort and stiffness in their body, and they're not able to get out there and ask for help. And the tools that are available and are out there, to be honest with you, they're not that good. They might have been great. The tools we have would be great for 300-400 years ago, but the intense amount of complex stress that we deal with today, those tools, they're not that great. And I've never, ever been to a practitioner outside of the guy that I originally started learning from that actually was able to teach me how to take care of myself. And so then what we have are these complex, codependent, dependent relationships between patients and practitioners, between coaches and athletes, between students and teachers. Where are we going to go? Where can I go to learn how to resolve and dissolve the daily and my lifetime accumulated stress load at my pace, in my own timing, in my own home? How do I get to do that? Because for me, if I can access that, then I can start to attain what I call a level of freedom, right? Freedom to explore my own environment, in my own timing, in my own way, and figure out what's correct for me. You know, my mom's orientation to money was her orientation to money. My dad's orientation to money was his orientation to money, but that may not be my orientation to money. I adopted their orientation. And now that adopted orientation of scarcity is causing me an intense amount of stress that I don't need to have in my life. Who's going to help me with that? Right? How do I get free enough that I get confident enough to break away from the stress matrix that has me buying into my identity rather than my birthright, which is to explore the infiniteness of my being through loving relationships, relationship with myself, my relationship with food, my relationship with exercise, my relationship with music, my relationship with my friends, my relationship with my work, my relationship with my culture. How am I going to do that when my body's so stiff and so fixed that I don't have much room to move around inside of it without any discomfort or stiffness or pain? How am I going to do that? You have to find someone who can teach you how to de-stress, detense, and de-distort and shift you out of a state of fight or flight so you can move into a state of peace and calm and groundedness. And from that position, you can feel what's going on. And then you can ask for help and assistance in the places where they're beyond your capacity to process as a solo lone wolf. So.
Well, I think this is something that a lot of people are struggling with. And definitely, you know, society, regardless of being an athlete or being an everyday Joe, I think we have this trend in society that we can't show weakness, but yet with your book that you just released, the Free for Life book, it seems that by looking into yourself and working on yourself, you can become free from pain, free from the effects of stress, So tell us a little bit about what would be the first step in terms of looking to get your freedom from pain, from stress.
Me in the book, I say freedom from stress, tension, and distortion because those three go together. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, really the first thing would be observing your coping strategies, right?
Absolutely.
And so let me give you an example of that. Let's say you lived in a household growing up where your mom and your dad had violent exchanges, okay? And it might not have been physical. It may have only been vulnerable, emotional, and energetic, okay? Because there's different types of violence. Most people only associate with physical violence, right? And so what you do, your strategy is when people start getting too loud, you disappear. So here you are, you work at a company, and you're walking through the lunchroom, and it's too loud, and so you find a place to go hold up and eat by yourself, rather than being able to take advantage of the social atmosphere and connect and relate with others. Because in your household, it was too loud for you. And when people are really loud, it brings up a lot of anxiety in your body. So you don't want to feel the anxiety. So then you leave the environment, right? Mm-hmm. So then you fly, right? Your parents were in fight, state of fight. And instead of taking that on, you took on the state of flight. So observing yourself, right? And being honest with yourself and using the feelings that your body's revealing to you, anger, frustration, agitation, irritation, pain, discomfort, stiffness, fear, and self-righteousness, you get to go, hey, here's this fixed, closed-minded projection that I've created about this environment so that I don't have to step in to resolving this. And so every place in my life where I create a closed fixed projection, that is the siren going off for me to go, wait up, hold on. That closed fixed projection is telling me what? Oh, it's telling me I feel unsafe. And so take a moment, take a breath, and breathe through the anxiety that you're feeling at the depth and the rate that you're feeling it. So if your anxiety is a 5, breathe at a 5. So a 10 would be as deep and as fast as I can breathe. A 5 would be half of that. A 1 would be a normal breath. So if my anxiety is a 5, breathe at a 5. If my anxiety is a 7, breathe at a 7. And as soon as my breath matches my sensation, you know what happens to the sensation? It dissolves. And then, I work through that.
Nice.
It dissolves. That easy. All I got to do is tune into the feeling that I'm having, pay attention to the environment, watch my closed-minded projection that I'm creating to separate myself from this person or this situation or this environment or these circumstances, and then sit down and breathe through what I'm feeling. And then you know what happens? It disappears. And now I go back into the same situation with the same person or the same environment or the same circumstances, and guess what? I don't have anxiety.
That's fascinating. I think a lot of people could use this type of technique. What about if they start feeling pain? Because it seems that pain and anxiety go together hand in hand sometimes.
Well, I mean, Yes. They can go hand in hand if you're paying attention, right? For me, until I was out of anxiety, I didn't even realize how much anxiety I had. Meaning that a person's base state of feeling, if that's been their base state for as long as they can remember, to them, that feels normal. Sure. So the same for a person, if their base state of sensation and feeling has been stiffness and discomfort, they don't know any different, right? So it's once the person has the recognition that they have anxiety and they have discomfort, that they can take the appropriate action. Many times when the person is experiencing a high level of anxiety, as anxiety dissolves, so does the excessive sensation. Because the body's attempting to get your attention. And the more you ignore it, the more it will continue to keep turning up the volume. And for me, I had to turn the volume up very, 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 very loud because when I was a child, I dealt with a lot of physical childhood trauma and stress and tension and distortion because I was experiencing experiences that were beyond my capacity to process effectively. And I didn't have anyone in my environment that could tell what was going on because they were buying into my positive projection field. And fortunate for me, I had a house mother I went to boarding school with named Cleta Akins. We called her Mrs. Akins. When I first came into her student home at boarding school, she could tell that I was a stammerer. And she knew that I needed to be in an environment where no one made that worse for me. So she pulled all the boys into the living room and she introduced me. And she said, if any one of you young men ever teases him for stuttering, you're going to be on the gravy train. And everybody in the student home knew what the gravy train was. That meant while we were out playing, you were going to be washing all the dishes, the pots, the pans, doing all the floors and cleaning up everything afterwards, which is about a three and a half hour process.
Yikes.
So I got to live in that student home for 4 years. And you know what happened? Between having a spacious environment and Mr. Millard, my speech pathologist, I was able to correct my speech and I started breathing. And then all of a sudden, as I was breathing, all of these symptoms that I was having, they started to disappear. So the breath is a very, very powerful tool. And accessing it and breathing relative to what you're actually feeling can allow you to dissolve the stress that you're feeling, the anxiety that's been created by the stress that you're feeling, and the tension that gets created from excessive unprocessed stress starts to dissolve. Now, if they want to actually go into the body, okay, you have to adopt practices that effectively dissolve tension and distortion. Okay, so stress manifests as tension. Tension transforms into structural distortion. Structural distortion gives you the indication of excessive amounts of sensation, which most people would call pain.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you apply Eastern philosophy to pain, it's very simple. Where there's pain, there is no flow. And where there's no flow, pain is sure to follow.
Yes, in terms of qi and blood in that
in case. Terms, yes, of qi and shui.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
So I think a lot of people might be thinking at this point, okay, you know, I've heard about breathing, you know, nothing new there. But the working on the tension and distortion and getting your blood flowing better and learning how to get your qi flowing better, I think that would be something that I would love for you to explain how you help folks and how you explain it in your book.
Well, I mean, there's a few. I mean, there's a few ways of going about this. So you could use, you could find someone who does moshing, ice-centric strength, or bestercise. And I call bestercise the best form of exercise because we use three types of contractions. We use concentric, isometric, followed by eccentric contractions. The reason why, part of the reason why I had all that tension and stress and distortion in my body is because I was focused primarily on two types of contractions. Concentric, short and relax under a load of resistance thousands and thousands of times, and hold a position and contract, right? So there's no change in length. What I wasn't using were eccentric contractions. And what do eccentric contractions do? They pull out a relative amount of tension and stress and distortion. And so bestercise is the only modern form of exercise that uses all three types of contractions. And the purpose of that is to rebalance the stretch-strength ratio in your body. And if you have the strength-stretch ratio correct in your body feels really comfortable. Your muscles are long and strong versus weak and overstretched. Now, people aren't going to like to hear this that do a lot of yoga. They're going to be bothered by the thing that I say here. But when you overstretch a muscle, you make it weak. Mm-hmm. The most difficult body to begin to put back into balance is someone that's been doing yoga for a very long time.
That makes
sense.
Because
it's lost a healthy amount of tension.
Yeah.
That's why the Chinese, they always say, don't do anything too extreme. Don't get in water that's too cold for too long. Don't get in water that's too hot for too long. Don't stay in any one stretch position for too long. Because they understand this balance between yin and yang. Right, between openness and contraction. And there's a healthy balance in there. And bestercise allows you to begin to move in and dismantle the excessive amounts of tension, stress, and distortion that you've stored in your structural tissues.
Now, at this point, someone might be going, okay, I've stored a lot of tension, you know, my neck, my upper back, but I have this nagging, say maybe they have a nagging hip pain.
Uh-huh.
How would you explain that nagging hip pain as being a form of stress to folks?
Okay. Well, let's go back.
Okay.
This will be great.
Okay.
Here you are. You're a little kid. You're crawling across the living room. You've got your eye set on the lamp. Okay. And the cord that's plugged into the wall from the lamp. And you're crawling over and you're curious what this thing is. And then you reach and you grab the cord and your mom sees you and she yells out, Sarah, stop. And then all of a sudden that wave of shock goes into your nervous system. And now you're scared to explore your environment. Okay? Because you want to avoid punishment, rejection, humiliation, violence, and confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every time that you apply that coping strategy, you weaken your nervous system because you're being inauthentic. The nervous system gets strengthened when you're being authentic. It gets weak when you're being inauthentic. And that weakness translates as stress. And stress manifests into tension. And tension creates structural distortion. And in a relative sense, for every bit of structural distortion you have a separation from your authenticity. And so you depersonalize. So when you're doing Bestercise or Moshing or ice-centric strength, and you're breathing relative to what you're feeling, what's happening is you're reintegrating the aspects of yourself that you lost.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you're putting yourself back together again.
You're putting yourself back together again. And now suddenly, you know what happens? You start to explore your environment again. And you start to pay attention and you become honest with yourself. I ate this food. The next day I was constipated. I don't think I'll be eating that food anymore. I drank this beverage. I felt sleepy within 15 minutes. Oh, I don't think I'll be drinking that beverage again. And then of course you get amnesia. And what do? Eat that food again. Boom. You get constipated. Have that drink again. Boom. You get tired. Or you have that drink again. The next day you have a massive headache. And then you start being honest with yourself. You go, hey, why am I continuing to eat things and drink things that make me feel bad? They make me feel anxious. They make me feel tired. They make me feel groggy. They make me feel moody. And then you start getting honest with yourself. Really honest. You go, why would I ever do that? That doesn't make any sense. I'm a rationally minded adult. I drink this and I know I'm going to get a headache, but I drink it anyway. Does that make any sense?
Nope.
Not to a rationally minded adult, but to a irrationally minded child who made up things about reality that weren't true before their mind was fully cognitive. That behavior makes perfect sense. So everything that's in your body is in your life. And if you're doing things that are irrational, that go against what it is you really want to experience, then you have to stop and ask yourself an honest question. What's going on? Why would I continue to do that? Why would I engage in self-defeating behavior, knowing that the result that I'm producing is in the opposite direction of where I want to go? But if I'm unwilling to be honest with myself, I can continue the behavior.
Yeah.
So whatever's in my atmosphere is in my mind. Whatever's in my body is in my life. The fastest way to change any of that is to go into my body and find where the discomfort, the stiffness, the pain lives, and take it out. And when that comes out, you know what goes with it? That's self-defeating behavior.
Now that could be huge to have a lot of transformation in one's life.
Oh, I mean, it's so important. I mean, true body intelligence is transformation reimagined. It isn't observation and comprehension. Just because a person understands something, it doesn't mean they've become the thing they understand. Nothing could be further from the truth. You have to step into the feeling body. The intuition is the highest form of intelligence. Analysis is the lowest form of intelligence.
So this kind of wraps around your concept of being versus doing.
Yes. You have got to get into the being, the body, the being. The mind loves to do. I mean, I love it. I understand it. I put out my little list. I get everything accomplished on my list. I feel really good. Ah, okay. But if I'm doing my list and the whole time while I'm doing it, I'm full of anxiety, okay, I need to stop for a moment and go, whoa, what's making me really anxious? And then I have to investigate. And then I have, once I figured out, I have to breathe through that feeling and let that go. Because if my doing is around me being identity driven, then my doing is creating more challenges than me not doing. And look, is it realistic for Americans to move to Thailand and live in a mountain with, like, you know, a Shaolin practitioner, right? Or a Taoist priest or monk. No, that's not realistic. We have to live in the world here. And so there's tools out there that can help you dismantle the stress, the tension, and distortion that you picked up before you were born, that came from generations and generations of survival-based strategies that don't make any sense to your current life.
But are relevant because this is something that the Chinese talk about over and over again. You pull things from your ancestors. And
that's right.
That leads a whole nother level of difficulty to managing your current situation.
Yeah. And the difference with true body intelligence or free for life or rational intimate transfiguration, which are all the things that I'm involved in, the difference is I'm not into managing stress. Okay. I'm into dissolving stress. It's very different. It's a very different principle. Look, if you want to manage your stress, go to yoga class, go to a breathing workshop. That's great. Okay. But if you want to dissolve your stress, that generational stress, tension, and distortion, so you don't have to continue to live in those states or manage them anymore, then you want to get involved in the things that we're doing. You want to get involved in best exercise. You want to get involved in some mashing. You want to get involved in eye-centric strength. Definitely you want to get involved in Body of Light or any of the courses that I'm creating, because I'm talking about the resolution of your lifetime accumulated stress load. Managing your stress is around your daily stress. Resolving your lifetime accumulated stress load makes everything in your life easy. And you cannot resolve it with the tools that are out there, because they don't address the lifetime accumulated stress load. The only person that I know that's been this fixated in this direction has been me, looking at it from all sides.
I would agree. I would agree. I don't see anything quite like your programs anywhere else. And definitely the taking part in becoming your honest self, because I think that's truly is what takes most of us down, and in not being able to deal with our unresolved issues.
Yep. If you will. And those issues are in your tissues, right? They're in your muscles, they're in your fascia, they're in your bones, they're in your ligaments, they're in your tendons, they're in your body, they're in your nervous system, they're in your auric field. These issues are in your tissues. And as soon as you take them out, everything in your life gets brighter. It's like most human beings are this beautiful lamp with a black towel over top of them. All we want to do is remove the towel. The light underneath is already perfect and beautiful. But tension, stress, and distortion dims your light. And it doesn't matter how much success you've had. In fact, the more success you've had, the more likely your light is getting dimmer.
All right. So, Christopher, you have shared a lot of information and probably a lot of thoughts that might be provoking people to think, oh, I don't want to dive that deep. But you might have some folks who are thinking, this sounds really cool. So let us know, where can we find you online? Where can we get your book? Everything. Details.
Okay, details. You could go to truebodyintelligence.com. There I'm going to be I'm in the process of building a membership portal where people will be able to come in and access really amazing courses that they can take in the privacy of their own home. I mean, that's important for me. And then the book is called Free for Life: A U.S. Navy SEAL's Path to Inner Freedom and Outer Peace. And that's on Amazon.com. There's a Kindle version, a paperback, and a hardback. And I'm building another website called Rational Intimate Transfiguration, where people will be able to access me to work with me privately.
Awesome. And this will be virtual, or can also be in person to work with you private?
To work with me, they have to come in person.
Makes sense.
Like when they're ready to do the super deep dive, then I'm your guy. Like if it's kind of like for me, when I was a kid, I knew there was somebody out there that I wanted to work with that knew things and understood things that I wanted to know and understand. And if you want to go super deep and be happy and grounded and peaceful and present, then I'm your guy. Like, look, The Power of Now, it's a great book. It's wonderful. But how do you get in the now, right? Well, the first step is you got to resolve your tension, your stress, and your distortion. And then once you do that, the fear resolves itself. The identity gets focused on who you really are. The nervous system gives you the space to explore your environment. And now you're free for life, free to explore who am I. And then it's easy. You make your dreams come true. You manifest from stillness. And when you're in peace and calm, it makes it easier for you to get clear on the life that you want.
Sounds amazing. Sounds amazing.
It's so amazing. I mean, it's so amazing.
Folks, if you are wondering how to discover who you are, I do recommend going over to truebodyintelligence.com. Now, you had also mentioned before we started recording about a practitioner list. Should folks be looking for somebody close to them, they're not able to travel, whatever it may be. When is that going to be up on your website?
Yeah, what I'll do over the next month, I'll have what's called a practitioner's page.
Okay.
And they'll be able to access people. You know, most of the people that I've trained, they either live in Iceland or they live in New York or they live in California.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you're in the middle of the country, you got three different places you can go. But I will put them on a site and they will be able to get access to those folks.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Christopher, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your history and talking all about your book, Free for Life, and letting us know how we can dive into ourselves to be free from stress and tension and distortion in our bodies. It's an amazing thought process. I love it. And I really do hope that some folks take advantage of it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Are you ready to find your true self? If so, check out Christopher's Free for Life book or head to truebodyintelligence.com for more information. As always, I have my podcast notes at thehealthfixpodcast.com, where you can find 4 steps to plug your leaky gut, which is also a very key component to getting your health back on track, almost as important as getting your mind right. And if you're looking to take your health to the next level, I'm also available for virtual visits, and you can get more information on that on my website at thehealthfix.com, thehealthfixpodcast.com, and click on the tab Work With Me. All right. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey, everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausend.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.